I'd like to call to order the Oro Valley Town Council regular session, September 6, 2023. Mr. Standish, roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Here.
Councilmember Bowen.
Here.
Councilmember Green.
Here.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
And Mayor Winfield.
Here. We have all seven members present. Vice Mayor Barrett is joining us virtually. Mr. Standish, if you'd read the executive session item.
Executive session number one, pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3, to receive legal advice and consultation of the consultant contract for town attorney services with the law firm of Amesh Clark Rothschild, PC. And number two, pursuant to ARS 38431.03A3, to receive legal advice, and also ARS 38431.03A4, settlement discussions regarding the case of Joplin v. Town of Oro Valley.
Thank you, Mr. Standish. I move to go into both executive sessions with the town manager, deputy town manager, town attorneys, legal services director, and the town clerk.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Green. Any discussion? Councilmember Bowen.
Mr. Mayor, one of the items involves discussion of the Mesh Clark Rothschild contract. Will they be in attendance in executive session while we're reviewing the possible renewal of their contract?
They'll be present for a portion of that, and then I will ask that they be excused.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. We'll go into executive session. I'd like to resume the regular session. We began this session earlier this evening at 5 o'clock. We've dismissed for executive session, and we're returning. Mr. Standish, roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Here.
Councilmember Bowen?
Here.
Councilmember Green?
Here.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy?
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Here.
Councilmember Solomon?
Here.
And Mayor Winfield?
Present. We have all seven members of council present this evening. Vice Mayor Barrett is joining us virtually. Mr. Standish, item one, please.
Resolution number R23-32, discussion of possible action to authorize the town manager to sign on behalf of the town a renewal for town attorney services contract with Mesh Clark Rothschild PC.
I move to authorize the town manager to sign on behalf of the town a renewal for the town attorney services contract with Mesh Clark Rothschild PC.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Green. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay?
Nay.
The ayes have it, 6-1. Mr. Standish, item two.
Discussion and approval of settlement direction given to the town's legal counsel in executive session regarding the case of Joplin v. Town of Oro Valley and authorizing the legal services director and or town manager to sign necessary documentation.
I move to authorize the legal services director and or town manager to sign necessary documentation related to the case of Joplin versus Town of Oro Valley.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Solomon. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any
aye.
Opposed? Any opposed, nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Standish will announce upcoming meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Historic Preservation Commission will meet next on September 11th at 5 p.m. here in the Council Chambers. And then the Water Utility Commission's next meeting is September 11th as well at 5 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. The Budget and Finance Commission will hold their next regular session September 19th at 4 p.m. here in the Council Chambers. The September 19th Parks and Recreation Advisory Board meeting has been canceled. And then the next Town Council regular session is scheduled for September 20th at 6 p.m. here in the Council Chambers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Standish. We'll go to Mayor and Council reports this evening. Councilmember Green's asked for a few moments.
I am thrilled to say that KE&G has finished the parking lot for the community center, and I love looking out there and seeing 150 cars ensconced. So that's good news. And the other thing that I'm very excited about is the multi-use path that's coming down the west side of La Cañada. They're really going great guns with it. It'll be terrific when it's finished.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilmember Green. Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to welcome all of you all to Project Grad 2023 through 24. There's going to be a first meeting September 27th from 5:30 to 6 p.m. in the T Building basement at CDO. And you might as well brand Project Grad across my forehead, because every time they pass something on to me, I will be passing it on to you. So we desperately need volunteers. So if you're interested in attending that meeting, please do. You can just show up. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Jones-Ivy. Other reports? I wanted to give a shout out to three of our local businesses. I had the opportunity to attend the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance Salsa, Tequila, and Taco Challenge that was held at the El Conquistador Hilton Resort. And as a result of that, Oro Valley can boast that under the Taco Challenge category, we won all three, third, second, and first place. Coming in third was Say's Kitchen. Coming in second was the El Conquistador Hilton Resort. And taking first was Fork and Fire. And I can attest that they were delicious tacos. And you don't have to go very far if you didn't have a chance to go to that event. I encourage you to go to any one of those, or, of course, others. It was a fun event, and I want to congratulate those three businesses. We'll go to Mr. Wilkins, and he'll present his report this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just want to announce our Community Academy is starting in October. So this is the 26th year for that. Similar to our police academy, the citizens are invited to participate. October 10th. There's seven sessions plus a graduation and dinner. This year's theme is really it's focused on the town's future and the upcoming general plan. So there'll be topics around housing and development, land use and zoning, finances, economic development, public safety, water resource planning. So again, they're held throughout October. And more information, there's a registration form on our website. They're mainly on Tuesdays or Thursdays, and a couple hours on each session. Also, I believe technology up there is ready. We started a video series called Behind the Scenes about our operations in different departments. And so our first one was related to stormwater. And so if you haven't seen those, are we ready? Okay, it's just less than a couple minutes.
Some folks do get us the water utility here on Oro Valley, but we are surface water folks. We are worried about the waters that you see on surface, in the washes, whereas the water utility really is subsurface and serving potable water, drinkable water. We've got two goals here at the stormwater utility. One is to manage the stormwater quality or the stormwater runoff. Tucson takes its drinkable water or potable water from the ground. So we pump it up out and then serve it to our residents. So with that in mind, it behooves us to make sure any runoff that is infiltrating back down into the ground is as clean as possible. That's one of our primary goals. The other is floodplain management. And what that really has to do with is minimizing the potential for property damage and loss of life. We've got a multitude of issues, and first and foremost is the monsoon season. Nobody can predict how much water is going to fall from the sky. Everybody is susceptible to flood risk. I really want folks to know we cannot tell Mother Nature to stop raining once we've hit our limit. We've had enough, we're done, please stop raining. You may have heard the 100-year storm event. That's what we're asking our folks to design to. It is an industry standard to use that 1% storm as our traditional design. So the banks on the Cañada del Oro Wash are designed to 100-year storm event level. Our traditional channels inside a subdivision, our box culverts, our pipes, our drainage pipes, are typically designed to that 100-year water surface elevation and storm event. And that does provide what we call an all-weather access so people can navigate and exit their home should an emergency arise, even in the craziest of storm events. We get really busy monitoring assets outside of the monsoon season. We've got a lot of sand moving through the town of Oro Valley here, and it happens to settle in some of the drainage culverts in our drainage infrastructure. So making sure that is cleaned up and ready to go for the next storm event is a tremendous activity. We're at about 6,000 stormwater assets in the town alone. So that takes a tremendous amount of time and staff effort to go take a look at all those.
My job is to enforce the Clean Water Act, which is a federal mandate that is surrounding clean water and the quality of water that goes into waterways. I go and do inspections on construction sites, and we go to make sure that there's no debris, no paint, concrete washout that's going into waterways that can pollute the wildlife in rivers, and hopefully we keep that to a minimum and hopefully non-existent. I also go and do asset inspections, and what that means, an asset is a catch basin, which captures all the water that's going in a system of storm drains. And I will go in and take a look and make sure that the piping inside of those catch basins are clean and that they're allowing for water flow efficiently.
I handle all of the mapping for our particular department. That's mapping of floodplains, mapping of assets that the town owns and private assets. I also handle a lot of creation of figures and report quality stuff to hand off to mayor and council or for anybody else who has to do a presentation. With regard to the floodplain mapping, the reason that we do that is to keep people safe and not standing ankle deep in water. So you'd want to know the location of the floodplain so that you can keep that new development outside of it.
Particularly when it comes to floodplain management, if we do our jobs here at the Stormwater Utility, and subsequently the town of Oro Valley, we are minimizing the risk of flooding potential to structures. That in tune can reduce the amount of flood insurance folks might have to pay. In addition, it also minimizes the amount of reconstruction that infrastructure sees. So if a roadway, for example, is designed properly and reviewed properly, we can extend the service life of that infrastructure much more so than if we didn't have any design standards or nobody reviewing projects. So there is a direct benefit to our residents here in Oro Valley by the work we're doing at the Stormwater Utility.
All right. So our next video, it's not that'll be online, is finance related. But I wanted to give some kudos to Nick, who's up in the booth up there that produced the video, and of course to our Stormwater Division and our Public Works Department too for putting that together.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkins. My only suggestion is maybe popcorn next time. That we get. Okay. All right. The agenda will remain as posted. We'll go to call to audience. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, Mayor and Council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. At the conclusion of call to audience, council members may direct staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. When you come forward, if you would please state your name and if you're a resident of Oro Valley or not. Doug Dalby.
Good evening. My name is Doug Dalby, and my wife and I have been Oro Valley residents for 43 years. Our property is adjacent to the property that the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene is trying to rezone, and we are strongly opposed to this rezoning request. We, along with 100% of the immediate neighbors, do not feel that this is an appropriate neighborhood to build a 75,000-square-foot building, a football field, and all of the supporting facilities. We agree with the Planning and Zoning Committee's decision that this project is not compatible with the existing neighborhood. The rezoning process for this project has been going on for 3 years now, and the reason neighbors are opposed to this project have been explained multiple times over the years, but there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. It would seem to me that Oro Valley would institute some sort of timeline for processes like this so that both the town officials and the neighbors can move forward. If the end result of this endeavor was truly to spread the gospel to the kids, then other options are available, which have also been suggested by the neighbors, including finding an alternate location that would accommodate such a large facility. However, it appears that profit is the ultimate objective. As enumerated during the March 28, 2022 presentation, in which Paul Oland, OVCN representative, in his clarifying statements and Q&A session at the end of the project presentation, mentioned that another aspect of the rezone request would be to allow, quote, for-profit as part of the, quote, public schools and churches zone, which will be presented to the P&Z committee at that time. For-profit is currently not allowed in the public schools and church zone. During a subsequent council meeting, this statement was mentioned, and there was a denial that it ever occurred. However, there is a recording of this statement. So you please help Oro Valley protect this historic neighborhood. And just as an aside, the picture you had of the rec center and the parking lot, when you look at that spectacular view of Push Ridge in the back, you know, we're asking, don't ruin that for the neighbors. You know, you're not the only ones that appreciate a view like that. So thank you for your time.
Tricia Tozier.
Mayor Winfield and Vice Mayor Barrett and the rest of the council, my name is Tricia Tozier. I am a resident of Oro Valley, have been since 1998. I've spoken to you many times because I love this place, and I went to a lot of trouble to make sure that when we moved to retire, that we were moved to a place that we wanted to be and that would stay as it was in the 90s. There is a parable by Hans Christian Andersen, and it's called The Emperor's New Clothes. Now, there's parables in the Bible and in folklore and in fairy tales, and they are meant to tell a truth in a palatable way. So I'd like to do that now. In this parable, the emperor, who is spent lavishly on clothing at the expense of his taxpayers, decides to call two people in to give him some new clothes. Well, these two folks are pretty smart, and they come up with a way to tell him, we are going to make you fabulous clothes, but only royalty can see it, and no fools will ever be able to see it. Therefore, this is just right for you. So he pays them, and they make the clothing. Nobody can see it, but nobody says we can't see it because they don't want to be looked at as a fool. So as the clothes are made and the emperor parades through the streets, everyone oohs and ahs because they don't want to be thought a fool. But one little boy says, wait a minute, he's naked. And then everyone's eyes are opened. Now this phrase, the emperor's new clothes, has become an idiom about vanity and self-aggrandizing. The parallel to the OVCN sports complex proposals are clear. They're pretending to weave a necessary community sports center presented under false, false premises. The actual impact when you open your eyes is traffic, noise, and a rural neighborhood destroyed. Thank you.
Anthony Ferrara.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor, Council members. My name is Anthony Ferrara, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. When it comes before you again, I encourage you to vote no on the rezoning request proposed by the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. The proposed project is not compatible with the neighborhood. They purchased a residential piece of property, and it should remain zoned as residential. If they haven't done so already, I encourage them to explore other more appropriate properties that are not zoned for residential use. The project, as proposed, will do permanent and irreparable harm to the neighborhood. I encourage you to vote no when it comes before you again. Thank you.
Tim Fagan.
I'm going to change it up just a little bit. My name is Tim Fagan. I've been a resident of Oro Valley for 35 years. My wife and I built our home at 9510 Calle Buena Vista in Linda Vista Citrus Tracts number 2 in 1991. Linda Vista Citrus Tracts was established in 1937, 37 years before Oro Valley was incorporated. And it's zoned for farms and ranches. We were attracted by the setting, the views of the Catalinas, housing density of no more than 1 per 3.8 acres, and the zoning for farms and ranches. I was raised with horses. I could tell you a long story, but I won't. I had a colt that I got was when I was 14. I raised three generations from him, and I kept the last two individuals from that line on the property until they died in the 2010s. Now, this is still an equestrian area. There are lots of horses, more than 50, I'm sure. People ride and sometimes drive buggies along the roadsides, and the adjoining developments are actually older than Linda Vista Citrus Tracts. And I believe that while their Linda Vista Citrus Tracts is not old enough to be on the register of historic places, the other two are, but Oro Valley could declare these as historic areas. Thank you.
My apologies in advance to the next individual. I'm having a difficult time reading the writing, but Martinen.
Hello, my name is Mark Martinez. I've been a resident of Oro Valley for about 11 years, and I've done a lot of work with all the people at Stormwater and worked with many different people here at the town of Oro Valley. But I'm here only because I'm trying to figure out this property that I own, getting a lot of harassment from the neighbors, and I'm just here to speak on my behalf and defend myself. I'm not sure if they're here. But for me, it's just about, you know, I built a building that is in all zoning and building requirements. I'm getting a lot of harassment, and I'm just not really sure my next steps. But if it keeps up, I'm going to have to do some injunction of harassment. I have had OVPD there waste their time coming out because I had a graduation party, and the OVPD showed up because of a complaint from a neighbor, and it was a waste of their time. And so it's just, for me, it's just misuse of public funds and taxpayer money for what's going on there. There's nothing I'm doing wrong, and I'm just trying to figure out how to get to the bottom of it without having to deal with this or having the town having to deal with my issues. That's all, and I thank you for your time.
Tim Terrace.
Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett, Council and staff, my name is Tim Terrace, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. I'm here to speak against the rezone request by the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. Tonight I would like to talk about a phenomenon that has been happening recently. Many of you have seen these pink signs around the neighborhood at various locations. The curious thing is that many of them have been disappearing from their chosen locations. Amazingly enough, one disappeared from the free speech zone right out here in front of Town Hall. I understand this is a common occurrence during political campaigns, but this appears different somehow. In this case, it seems that there are individual collectors that value the signs more than the owners. Hence, they take the signs. Therefore, in order to enhance the availability of the signs to the collectors and to keep up with the demand, the Calle Concordia Buena Vista group continues to make more. The group has asked that the word get out about the value of these items. So not only are they making this situation public, they have informed OVPD about these events so that no one will miss out. That way everyone can have a shot at these valuable items. Oh yes, one other thing. Recently we added the Instagram logo to get a little bit younger audience than some of us. And we're hoping that adding the Instagram makes the signs even more valuable. So thank you very much. Time will tell.
Kurt Reisberg.
Hello, my name's Kurt Reisberg. I spoke, and I'm a resident in transition, shall we say. I'm still extracting myself from Southern California to move out here, but I do own a home here in Oro Valley, and I happen to be visiting this week, so I thought I'd come and follow up with my previous address about the non-dark sky honoring street lights along Rancho Vistoso. I'm sure you perhaps remember that. I think it was back in April when I spoke. And I'm just sort of following up and seeing what progress or anything that has been made or where I can search for further information in regards to these unfortunate last lights standing sort of lights from the early 80s. Because they, you know, as much as I love this town, which is why after much research of kind of a obsessive researcher about a lot of things, as college professor, scholar type of guy, right? I chose Oro Valley because of the beauty of the place, and one of the prime features was the dark sky policy, which is even stated in your city ordinances here, that we seek to follow that policy. And I know that the quality of life overall here in Oro Valley is exceptional, you know, and on a national level. So it's not just an Arizona thing, you know, you guys are well known. But when I am in my house or driving along the dark street, or when I'm driving along the dark streets or in other, even in the neighborhood of Sun City where there is no other lights on the roads, it's just gorgeous. I'm just stunned by the beautiful sky. I have a place in Minnesota and the sky here rivals that. So it's something worth preserving. It's a real resource that we have here. But then I get into my house and there's this big industrial thing that belongs over the Los Angeles freeway that over time has the head of it or the branch that goes out from the main pole has sunk. So it's actually pointing backwards, and which causes me to actually draw my shades in my house at night. Not so the neighbors can't see in, because they can't see in, right? But to keep the light out from the streetlight. And I know that even in the city ordinance, there is a rule against, like, if you have a light on your house, it can't shine on your neighbor's house. Well, these are illuminating my backyard. I can read a book without even turning on my light. So I'm just following up with that, reminding people of the issue, and it's not being disrespectful to Oro Valley. I love this place, and I just want to see it even improve greater. So that's my follow-up. Thank you.
Mr. Wilkins, can we follow up with Mr. Reisberg about the light that's shining in his backyard? Thank you. David Divert.
My name is David Diver, and I'm a Oro Valley resident. I've lived with my wife on Calle Concordia for about 30 years. Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene purchased the Telez property in June of 2020 and almost immediately demolished the existing structures on the property. The structures included a 2,693-square-foot blockhouse built in 1980, also demolished were a large masonry barn, stable, swimming pool, workshop, and other structures. I called a city official responsible for permits after seeing truckload of material being hauled from the site to see if the required permit was issued. The city official said it had not, and they would go check the site out and check on it. I don't know if they ever received the required permit. In addition, the church removed copious amounts of vegetation from the property almost immediately after purchase. Removal of the vegetation created increased noise, increased heat island effect, more lighting pollution for the neighbors, more dust, less wildlife, and other adverse conditions for the neighborhood. The immediate changes to the former Telez property demonstrates arrogance on the part of the church that the city would approve their plans without hesitation. Their arrogance includes trying to coerce the city into approving their plan based on the argument that sports complex is a religious activity. It is not. By definition, sports is a form of recreation and physical activities engaged in for pleasure. It is not for indoctrination to teach the beliefs or doctrines of a particular group. The Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene is a cancer on the neighborhood. It started as a benign growth on the neighborhood, but over years has grown into a fast-growing cancer that is destroying the neighborhood. The effect of rezoning and development of a sports complex proposed by the church will let the cancer continue to grow. The only way to stop the cancer is to cut the cancer out or attempt to stop its growth. City council members and the mayor have the power to fight the cancer and at the very least stop it from growing. It is time for the city to fight injustice to the neighborhood and say no to rezone and stop further destruction and death of the historic neighborhood. The neighborhood was here long before the church invaded. The neighbors should not have to be walled in and stay indoors like prisoners on their own properties to protect them from the negative effects of the church. Thank you.
Devin Smith.
Good evening, Mayor Winfield and members of the Town Council. My name is Devin Smith. This is my daughter, Everly, and this is my son, Luca. And we are residents of Oro Valley. We'd first like to thank you for listening to our concerns month after month and year after year. We all feel that our beautiful neighborhood is worth fighting to preserve, and so we continue to do so. Our family has a home on Calle El Milagro, and we remain strongly opposed to the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene rezone. A church nestled into a neighborhood should strive to remain in a symbiotic relationship with its direct community, and it is no longer that. Simply, it has been said time and time again, a rezone and plan of this magnitude is not compatible with our neighborhood. The result of this rezone would knowingly and exponentially increase the risk to neighbors through increased and continuous traffic, and it will change the historic nature and integrity of our beautiful neighborhood. The noise, lights, and construction will absolutely, without a doubt, compromise the quality of daily life for the neighbors who live there. It is my hope that the church will come to this conclusion as well and explore other options that may be available. Thank you.
I have no other blue cards, so I'll close call to audience at this time. We'll go to the presentations part of tonight's agenda. Mr. Standish, item one.
Proclamation, Constitution Week.
Thank you. I'll read the following proclamation. Whereas September 17, 2023 marks the 236th anniversary of the drafting of the Constitution of the United States of America by the Constitutional Convention, and whereas It is fitting and proper to accord official recognition to this magnificent document and its memorable anniversary and to the patriotic celebrations which will commemorate the occasion. And whereas Public Law 915 guarantees the issuing of a proclamation each year by the President of the United States of America designating September 17th through 23rd as Constitution Week, now therefore I, Joseph C. Winfield, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim the week of September 17th through 23 as Constitution Week and ask our residents to reaffirm the ideals that the framers of the Constitution held in 1787 by vigilantly protecting the freedoms guaranteed to us through this guardian of liberties, remembering that lost rights may never be regained. And this evening we have with us Miss Penny Simon-Nielsen, who will accept the proclamation, and it looks like others. So, Penny, if you'd like to come forward along with your friends, I'd like to present this proclamation to you. Penny? Penny, it's my pleasure to present this proclamation. Thank you, and I would be... Would you like to say a few words?
Yeah, just a couple words. Yeah. Thank you. Mayor Winfield and members of the town council, I'd like to thank you on behalf of the El Presidio chapter, Daughters of the American Revolution, for acknowledging September 17th through the 23rd as Constitution Week. Our chapter and our state society, thank you very much. And as we did last year, this will be posted in the Oro Valley Library the week of September 17th.
Can you introduce your friends?
Sandy Lawford is a past regent of our chapter, and she participates in a lot of parades, and she's really very active in the DAR. We have Rebecca Call, and Rebecca is... our Americanism Committee Chair, and she does a lot of things for the flag of the United States of America. And Kathy Lauer is our chapter recording secretary.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. Did you want a picture? You want to be in the picture? Nick, can you take another picture with anybody else?
Carolyn is our historian, and so she has to tag along and take pictures all the time, and she never gets in the shots.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you.
Mayor.
Yeah, thank you. Sure. Mr. Standish, presentation two.
Proclamation, Diaper Need Awareness Week.
How about that for efficiency? Okay. Do we have Yvette Sykes with us this evening? Wonderful. Let me read the proclamation. Whereas diaper need, the condition of not having a sufficient supply of clean diapers to ensure that infants and toddlers are clean, healthy, and dry, can adversely affect the health and well-being of children and their families. And whereas national surveys and research studies report that nearly one in two families struggle with diaper need and 48% of families delay changing a diaper to extend their supply. And whereas providing an adequate supply of diapers is often an eligibility requirement for babies and toddlers to attend child care and quality early education programs, therefore allowing parents to work. Unfortunately, parents and caregivers struggling with diaper need report missing an average of 5 days of work each month due to an insufficient supply. And whereas community-based organizations, including Arizona Diaper Bank, recognize the importance of diaper distribution to families through various channels, ensuring health and economic stability, And whereas the people of Oro Valley recognize that diaper need is a public health issue, and addressing diaper need can lead to economic opportunity for families and communities and improved health for children, thus ensuring all children and families have access to the basic necessities required to thrive and reach their full potential. And now, therefore, I, Joseph C. Winfield, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim the week of September 18th through the 24th, 2023, as Diaper Need Awareness Week in the town of Oro Valley, and would like to recognize all the diaper banks, their staff, volunteers, and donors. I encourage the residents of Oro Valley to donate generously to diaper banks, diaper drives, and those organizations that collect and distribute diapers to those struggling with diaper need, so that communities can thrive, ensuring health and economic stability. And I'm pleased to invite Ms. Yvette Sykes, the interim CEO of the Arizona Diaper Bank, to accept the proclamation this evening. Thank you. I mean, what's a proclamation without a box of diapers, right, on Diaper Need Week? So, Yvette, the proclamation is on the other side of this box.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So there you go. Here, let's.
We've received our first donation. Thank you.
Here we go. Let's get a picture.
On behalf of the Arizona Diaper Bank and all the people in our communities, we thank you for your support.
So we strongly encourage you to make donations of diaper need. Councilor Solomon and I were having a discussion beforehand that we were glad that we were out of the my wife and I have seven children, so we know about diapers. Steve has children as well, so he does his, and so we think we're out of the diaper business, but I reminded him that I suspect diapers are in our future. So anyway. Yvette, thank you. Let's see. The next is the consent agenda. I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Solomon. Discussion. I would like to, one of the items on the consent agenda is a resolution authorizing and approving the transfer of Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve conservation easement assignment from the Conservation Fund to Archaeology Southwest. Tonight we have with us Kirsty Kowalski with the Conservation Fund. Kirsty, would you like to stand? Kirsty has helped to shepherd this project for 3.5 years, along with Mike Ford with the Conservation Fund. They've really done an exemplary job in ensuring the conservation of this property. And we're pleased that the Archaeology Southwest will be taking over. And so thank you so much for both of you. Appreciate the fact that you're here this evening, and we applaud what you've done, Kirsty, so thank you. With that, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed, nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. We'll go to regular agenda, item 3. A and B and C.
Public hearing.
Mr. Standish.
Discussion and possible action regarding a proposed 1,649 square foot drive-through restaurant located in the Kenyatta Crossroads Shopping Center at the southwest corner of Lambert Lane and La Kenyatta Drive. The items include item A, conditional use permit, item B, conceptual site and landscape plans and revised master development plan, and item C, conceptual architecture.
This evening, planner Mr. Packer will present this item. He'll be followed by the applicant, Mr. Juneman, who will also be presenting this evening. Following their presentations, there'll be a public hearing. Mr. Packer.
Thank you very much. Good evening, Council. Again, my name is Kyle Packer. I'm a senior planner with the town of Oro Valley here, and my presentation tonight is regarding a drive-through restaurant. This restaurant is, there are three items tonight. Item A, again, being a CUP, item B being a development plan, and item C is conceptual architecture. These three items are up for discussion and possible action and require three separate motions. with approval for items B and C being dependent on approval of item A. This project is located at the southwest corner of Lambert Lane and La Cunada Drive within the Cunada Crossroads Shopping Center and is highlighted here in blue. In 1997, the overall center was rezoned from R1144 to CN, or Neighborhood Commercial, and in 1999, the Master Development Plan was approved, and the majority of the shopping center has since been developed. There are two remaining vacant parcels, shown here in orange, with the southern parcel highlighted in blue being the applicant site today. This site has been approved for an approximate 6,000 square foot structure. The applicant is proposing one that's roughly 1,600 square feet. The height permitted through CN zoning is 25 feet, and the applicant is proposing 20 feet. Again, item A is a CUP for a drive-through use with two additional requests, the first being a residential buffer modification, and the second being modified drive-through service hours. There are a number of CUP criteria that apply, and we'll be focusing on the latter two in my presentation this evening. The first of those two is compatibility, which is the impacts to the adjacent businesses and community. Now, the applicant has made a number of modifications to address the impacts to the adjacent patios. They've moved the building southeast on their parcel and oriented it east-west. They've enhanced the screen wall and landscaping beyond the zoning code requirements. They've agreed to lower the trees on the north of the property at Harvest Restaurant's request, and they've oriented the order kiosk away from the adjacent patios. Now, when it comes to traffic and stacking, there are 8 vehicle stacking spaces provided, and the existing zoning code and the conditions of approval with these applications enable the town to reconsider this CUP if queuing exceeds quantities shown in the application. Now, going back to those distance and time requests, there is a request to reduce the required 250 feet of separation from residential down to approximately 185 feet. And there's also a request to revise the hours of service from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Sunday, as opposed to the CN limited service hours shown here. The Planning and Zoning Commission has recommended approval for these, as both requests have minimal impact to adjacent residential properties. And this can be seen in the images to the right, where lot line to lot line, the closest residential property is again approximately 185 feet. And in that lower image, you can see that between in that 185 feet, there's an existing building, hillside, and screen wall. Item B is the development plan for that 1,649 square foot building shown here. The proposed building is again 20 feet in height and features an outdoor patio shown here with the red outline and provides 32 parking spaces. Now, I'd like to highlight the orange line shown on this is the screen wall that would separate the conditional use or the drive-through use from the adjacent businesses. Finally, going to that 8 provided vehicle stacking spaces for that drive-through, you can see that 4 are provided at or behind the drive-through menu board, which is that orange box on the left, and 4 are provided at or behind that drive-through pickup window, which is the orange box on the right. Finally, item C is again conceptual architecture, and this proposal provides 4-sided architecture with both roof and wall plane variations, and the materials, colors, and forms have been pulled directly from the approved architecture for the surrounding shopping center. Looking to the review criteria, this project has been reviewed for conformance with the zoning code standards, including the CUP and drive-through requirements, and the goals and policies of the Your Voice, Our Future General Plan. Of the 102 plans and policies within the Your Voice, Our Future General Plan, 17 are applicable and have been met. And key goals and policies include providing a wide range of dining opportunities, effective transitions between differing land uses, and effectively scaling and transition in scale and density, and finally, promoting the design of cohesive developments. When it comes to public participation, an informational video was provided for this project, as well as 2 neighborhood meetings where the key concerns were impacts to adjacent businesses and the compatibility of the drive-through use. The applicant will be presenting their presentation of their own tonight, to address the changes that they have made in these concerns. Finally, in summary, the project has been reviewed for conformance with the zoning code criteria and the general plan, and the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of item A, subject to the conditions of approval in attachment 1, and approval of items B and C. These items are again up for discussion and possible action tonight, with items B and C being dependent on approval of item A. Thank you very much, and the applicant is here with a presentation of their own.
Thank you, Mr. Packer. Mr. Jimman?
Honorable Mayor, Vice Mayor, members of the council, my name is Rory Juneman, 5983 East Grant Road in Tucson. We represent Nico Friccioni, who is the owner through his company of this parcel. It's separately owned from the rest of the Kenyatta Crossroads. I want to introduce Nico. He's right here with me. Also, Riaz Adakalin is our landscape architect. He's here. Online, we have a few others. Our civil engineer, unfortunately, has COVID. His name's James McMurtry. So he's online. Scott Kelly is our traffic engineer. He doesn't have COVID, but he lives in Phoenix. So which some people consider an affliction as well. But he's with us from online. And then Sameet Patel is going to be the operator of this tropical smoothie. His wife just had a baby. He's in Tucson, but we told him he could just join online because they obviously have a lot. And he's going to speak at the public hearing as well. So with that, I also want to thank staff for all the help that they've given us on this and their excellent staff report throughout this process. They've been great. So as Mr. Packer mentioned, we're at Kenyatta Crossroads. We're the southern of the two vacant parcels at that development. He also mentioned that there is a current development plan passed in or approved in 1999 that has on our pad the ability to do about a 6,000 square foot building. Just for reference, the Chili's at Steamboat steam pump is about a little under 6,000 square feet. So that size of building could be built here. What Nico and his company are proposing is much smaller. We think it's more appropriate for this site. And really will fit in, won't block the views of the businesses, also won't block the businesses from La Cunada from traffic as well. Back at the time that the development package was approved, there was also a development agreement that put in place. It's expired since then, but I wanted to point out that in that development agreement, it was contemplated by the developer in the town that these two parcels that are vacant very likely could be convenience uses, like a drive-through, because of their proximity to La Cunada. Like I said, that agreement's expired. It doesn't really hold any weight, but at least I wanted to point out that since the beginning of this development, some sort of a convenience use was at least anticipated on this parcel. So we did our original submittal back last summer. We had our first neighborhood meeting early last summer as well. And this is our original site plan and the architecture. We had a lot of folks show up at that meeting. There was a lot of concern, particularly about how the project would affect the outdoor dining, particularly at Harvest, but also Cafe Torino. The architecture, we had a trash dumpster that was right next to where Breadsmith is. So there's a lot of things that, a lot of opportunities for us to kind of improve on this design, but that's really part of this process, right? The process allows for us to present a project and then listen to concerns, adjust those, and that's really what we've done. So over the last year, particularly after that first neighborhood meeting, we did some pretty significant things. We adjusted the architecture quite a bit to where now it really does match well with the existing center. We've done more around drive-through screening, which I'll talk about all of these things in detail in my presentation. We've moved that trash dumpster to an appropriate location. We've done some enhancement on landscaping, and then we've made some adjustments based on feedback to landscaping. We have 6 additional parking spaces than what's out there now. That was a result of our redesign after the first neighborhood meeting. And we've moved and adjusted our outdoor seating. We have ample outdoor seating. At our neighborhood meeting that we held this June, we actually got some feedback. The owner of Harvest was here. We got some really good feedback in the meeting. We actually adjusted some things. The angle of the menu board to make sure that it wasn't pointing towards their patio. We agreed to some speaker noise mitigation items that I'll talk about. And then we've, as Mr. Packer said, we've agreed to use trees that are proof trees on the Oro Valley approved plant list, but they'll be shorter in nature so they don't block the view from the Harvest patio. So this is our new and updated site plan. It's been updated since the second neighborhood meeting. Just to talk a little bit about the use, it's a tropical smoothie cafe is going to be the restaurant. There's a couple of these in the Tucson area, but they're pretty new. There's one in Vail and there's one by the airport. The operator is going to open one down at the Bridges. Actually, I think he's got 3 others in Tucson, and then this particular location that we hope to offer open. So there's quite a few of these that are coming online. As you see from the name, their primary business is smoothies, but they also sell food, kind of lighter food, sandwiches, wraps, some breakfast items. But they don't have a fryer, so there's no vent hood. It's a restaurant use that'll have very little impact from an odor standpoint to the neighboring businesses and residents. And we think it's a nice addition to this center. The center's got 2 upscale restaurants. It's got a Subway. It's got Breadsmith's, a bakery. This is kind of a use, a restaurant use that's in the middle of all those, and we think it'll complement the other uses. The other food service uses won't be really a competition, but more of a compliment. As Mr. Packer mentioned, the height is 20 feet. It's below the what's allowed, and it's about 1,650 square feet. So if you think of maybe a Dutch Brothers, it's that kind of size, a pretty small building. It'll have some interior seating, some exterior seating, but really, a majority of the business they anticipate being through the drive-thru, and that's what they've seen at their other uses. So, over the next few slides, I'm going to kind of highlight some of the things that we've changed and some of the based on the responses we've gotten throughout our neighborhood meetings and at P&Z. I'd like to start with parking, traffic, and circulation, particularly parking. The nice thing about having such a small building is we can actually provide 6 more spaces than what are out there now. There's about 26 spaces along our south and west or east at La Cañada. When we do by redesigning the site, we can spread those spaces around. And so we'll have spaces on all sides of the building. And like I said, we'll have 6 additional spaces. We anticipate 2 to 3 employees at a time. And like I said, a majority of the business will probably come through the drive-thru, so we don't anticipate a lot of customers parking at the site. The nice thing about that is that frees up that parking for the other businesses within the center. So we think we'll probably keep about the same number of spaces available to those businesses on average. Our traffic engineer has anticipated 722 trips per day, average trips per day. When I think of a trip, I like if I go to the store, I consider going and coming back one trip. A traffic engineer actually considers that 2 trips. So if you equate this 722 to customers, it's really more customers and employee visits. It's more in the 360 range. So not a significant amount of traffic. But the fact is, look, La Cañada has ample capacity. It's at about 27,000 trips per day, according to the PAG counts. It could have up to 36,000, almost 37,000, and still be at capacity. So there's La Quinta has plenty of ample extra space for traffic, and our traffic is going to be about 2% of that. So not a large addition. Plus, some of those trips are what traffic engineers called pass-by trips, meaning those people were on La Quinta anyways, and they're just going to pull in and get something to eat versus new trips that are generated by that use coming to the store. So, and then our circulation, we expect that most users will probably use the exit on the south end of La Quinta, closest to the building. They'll see the building, they'll turn in. From there, they can make a pretty quick right and a couple of lefts to get into the drive-through lane. And then the drive-through exit is close to that south La Quinta access point. So that's likely where most of the traffic will be. But the nice thing about the center, it has two other access points, one on Lambert, one north on La Quinta. Those will still be functional. We think that the parking area will function much like it does today. And it's kind of proven out over 20 years that circulation works. So we think that with sort of obviously there's additional new traffic, but it's pretty limited, and it's within a center that again, has shown it can work. So drive-through stacking was a concern that we've heard. As Mr. Packer said, we've designed this to have 8 spaces, 4 spaces before the order kiosk and 4 spaces before the pickup window. How we got to 8 is basically by sort of following your town code. I think your town code does it the right way in how you figure out what the stacking amount is. Instead of having a prescribed amount, your code sort of realizes that different drive-throughs have different demands. A bank drive-through versus a Starbucks drive-through versus, I think, what we're proposing all have different queuing requirements. So the code says you go find a similar use, do a study of that, and justify that and bring it back to town staff. And that's what we did. And fortunately, we had a tropical smoothie that was open in Vail. We did that study. We found that the busiest times for that drive-through are between 11 and 1 p.m. So lunch traffic is the sort of the busiest use. And then the peak hour within that 2-hour period saw about 27 visits, car visits, through that drive-through. So a little over 1 per 2 minutes. And at the busiest time, they had 7 cars in that drive-through, so a stacking of 7. So we've provided 8. We think that's going to be ample. As Mr. Packer said, there's your code, and there's actually a condition that says if that doesn't pan out, if it's not true and you need more stacking, the CUP can be sort of reopened and looked at again. But we think based on this actual use in another part of town, that 8 spaces is going to be enough. Now, the kiosk location we chose for a couple of reasons. One, our operator basically has said it takes less time to order than it does for the food to be prepared. So putting that order kiosk at about half is probably the right place for it to be for operation purposes. But the other concern we had was sort of noise and light pointing towards the two outdoor patios at Harvest and Torino. So we've because of both of those factors, we thought that the location of the kiosk was appropriate after the 4th car. And then where we've placed it, we've sort of adjusted the how that kiosk faces to face almost towards Breadsmith or a little bit more towards the southwest, where they don't have an outdoor patio. So we think that's a good location from where it doesn't impact those patios as much. And then I think for ordering, it makes sense as well. There's also a couple, just to point out, there's a couple of sort of sidewalks that cross the drive-through lane. One is right at the entrance, part of the overall pedestrian path throughout the site. And then we also included one right after the ordering kiosk that's closest to our back door where loading could occur and trash could be taken out. So one of the other concerns we got kind of related to the drive-through was just its impact on those two existing patios. We think that both from a and also there was a concern just about drive-through idling and its impact on air quality. So I want to talk about both of those. Regarding the impact on the patio, the ordering kiosk is about 100 feet away from both of those patios. So there's a pretty significant distance between where people are going to stop and first order and where people are going to eat at the two existing patios. So we think that that distance is plenty, that there shouldn't be really any kind of impact on diners. The fact is, there's cars in that parking lot. There's cars parking. There's cars driving in those access lanes, and those don't really cause an issue. So we think similarly, the distance between the cars in our drive-through and those patios shouldn't have any impact. Regarding air quality, I think there have been some studies that show whether you're idling at a stoplight or idling at picking up your kids at school or in a drive-through, that's not the best thing for air quality. But I think there's some factors that sort of point towards that being less of a problem. One, just global factors, electric vehicles are becoming more popular. I saw by 2030, they should be about 10% of total cars. I think that's only going to increase. Not to mention, some cars have technology that address this. They're cars that shut off when you stop at a stoplight or are idling. I think that's a feature that can be turned on and off. But if you have that on, that takes care of the problem. I think if there's also some things that the town could do. In doing some preparation for this hearing, I saw that there's some towns around the country that have sort of anti-idling programs, kind of public service programs that encourage people, if they're going to be stopped at a drive-through or be stopped at a stoplight for a long time, they just shut off their engine. Modern engines can handle that. So I think there's some things out there that address that concern. I don't think that one drive-through is not allowing one drive-through isn't going to really address the problem. There's some kind of easier things, some global things that are happening to address that problem, and some things maybe even the town could do to address it if it becomes more of a concern. So, moving on, continuing on the drive-through, but really getting it more of light and noise. After that first neighborhood meeting, we worked with staff to come up with some additional screening solutions for the drive-through. The code requires a 3.5-foot solid wall, just baseline. What we've done is in those areas that are closest to the patios at Harvest and Torino, include another 3-foot trellis that'll allow for vines to grow up to help with, one, sort of the visual impact, sort of soften that view, but then, two, obviously it'll screen the view there. And then also at the corner, we've raised that wall to 4.5 feet to help sort of mitigate car lights at night impacting those areas. And we've got some renderings that show this. Another concern about the drive-through is the kiosk, the ordering kiosk. So we had, per town code, we did a noise study. That noise study found a couple of interesting things. One, during the day, when there's a lot of traffic on particularly La Cañada, the background noise really drowns out the noise from the speaker as it gets beyond sort of the ordering area. So during the day, there really isn't an impact from the ordering kiosk. But at night, when the traffic is less, then that's when the businesses around us could hear that the ordering noise. Now, that's at a level that's well below the town code, so we meet the town code. But there's a condition in the CUP that we think will be helpful. It's installing something called an automatic gain control. But what that is it it's part of the ordering kiosk that listens to the background noise, monitors the background noise level. So if the background noise is at pretty high level, then the kiosk is at sort of full volume for that's appropriate for ordering. But when that background noise level drops, then the speaker noise drops, so it doesn't have any impact on those businesses or very little impact on the businesses around. The one thing I did want to mention is that there is no impact on the residential areas to the south because of the buildings, because there's at least a 12-foot high grade change between our property and the buildings to the south, and there's also a screen wall there. So no impact on any of the residential areas, and the impact on the surrounding businesses will be mitigated by the automatic gain control technology. We've agreed to do some enhanced landscaping, really trying to focus a lot of landscaping towards the harvest patio. One of the things we did, like I mentioned at the last neighborhood meeting, was to agree that the trees in that area, though, be sort of shorter in height. We're looking at a tree that would be like a desert willow. We don't want to commit to a specific tree this early because you don't know what's available at the time of development. But our landscape architect has also mentioned Mexican buckeye or Texas mountain laurel as a possible trees that could be in this area that are shorter. They won't grow too tall to block the view from harvest. We've also wanted to sort of commit to making those trellises kind of vibrant, that they'll have vines on them that grow to actually screen and really kind of provide a nice look from those patios. Also that would have some flowers. Trumpet vine is what we have shown here, but cross vines are another plant that we would consider using. But those are all plants that'll look really nice. And then they're functional too, right? They'll help the more leaves, the more foliage on those trellises, the better it'll do for blocking noise and light. But we think at the end of the day, right now, this is a vacant parcel. With the small building, the amount of landscaping, this really will really enhance the development. So trash and loading, I mentioned that our initial trash was really right by Brad Smith. What we've done is work with the center property manager to ensure that we can use the center has two trash areas. The one closest to us is down kind of on the south side of the subway. That has ample space for another user, so just it really makes sense just to use that trash area. Loading was also brought up. There's two existing loading areas that are very close to our south end of our building that we can use if the need arises for an area where a truck can park and unload onto into our building. So those are two pretty reasonable solutions. Architecture was a big concern, but we think that our designer has done a really nice job in making this building look good and borrowing from the other elements, design elements within Kenyatta Crossroads. So I'll just kind of run through these. This is the front of our building. It would be facing east towards La Kenyatta. This is the north side of our building, our main sort of customer entrance. So you'll see there's some outdoor seating there. In our P&Z, we had a lot bigger trees, so we've kind of right-sized those to trees that are sort of less bulky and will block the view less. And this is just a sort of an above view from that shows the outdoor seating area and some of the parking. That's the same view. So this is a view of the entrance to the drive-through. So again, at PNZ, we had pretty large trees here. We've made, I think this is a desert willow, kind of a shorter tree. And then this is a view from, this is the back of our building, kind of looking over by where Bread Smith is, maybe the gap between the buildings here in the center. But you'll see the drive through, and then you start to see the vines on those trellis areas that are there to really help block views and help mitigate noise. This is from looking, basically it's kind of between Harvest and Bread Smith, looking due east, mountains in the back. You see that, I think this is a good view to illustrate the sort of the small nature of the building. It's not going to have a significant impact on views. And the vines look nice. And then this is from Torino, Cafe Torino, where, again, we've have that higher trellis feature. And this is where the pickup window is. And then the exit for the drive-thru. We also had our architect do kind of a, this is a picture taken from Harvest, just to show the size of the building. We had some other view sheds that didn't look as nice, but they were able to do kind of a nicer looking view shed that shows that the building really will block a little bit of the views, but for the most part, the views from Harvest will remain. Okay. Mr. Packer mentioned that we are also requesting relief from the residential setback that says drive-thrus need to be 250 feet from residential property. The code allows that waiver if you meet certain criteria. One, you have to comply with the noise ordinance, which we do. You've got to screen the drive-thru, which we do. You've got to you can't have any odors have to be abated, but we really have a low odor type product or restaurant, so that won't be a problem. But then the code says there's got to be some sort of a physical barrier between those residential homes or those residential properties and your drive-through. And in this case, there's significant barriers. First, we've got buildings that are between our drive-through and the residential properties to the south. And then you'll see on this picture, there's about a 12-foot grade difference there. We're set down lower than those residential properties. And then there's another 6-foot screen wall there. So those were all put in back when the development was built in the late 90s for this exact reason, to mitigate any impacts on those residential properties. It's obviously worked. And so because of that, we're requesting this this exception from that setback. Well, not exception, this reduction in that setback. And we didn't have at the neighborhood meetings. I know at the first neighborhood meeting, some of the residents to the south showed up, but they haven't reached out to us since. So I think that just shows that the screening that was put in back in the 90s is working. And then here's some more pictures just of the buildings and that setback, or the screen walls, excuse me. We did get some questions at our neighborhood meeting about just why a drive-through. I think this kind of goes without saying that since the pandemic, drive-throughs have really become really an expectation for a lot of customers and fast casual restaurants. And it's just because of that demand, we're seeing a lot more drive-throughs throughout this region and I think throughout the country. So just wanted to kind of bring that up as to help address that question of why drive-through. So with that, I'll kind of wrap it up. I just wanted to make a few points that since particularly since that first neighborhood meeting, we've done a lot of design changes. We've worked really hard at responding to the concerns that we heard from the adjacent businesses, and we haven't really heard any concerns from the nearby residents. We do meet all of the CUP criteria, This is a restaurant that is not going to have any kind of material detrimental impact on public health, safety, and welfare. The restaurant will be, I think, more than compatible with the existing uses in Kenyatta Crossroads. It's consistent with the general plan, and we feel the hours of operation are appropriate. And then we also meet those criteria for the setback modification. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. And, we are agreeable to the conditions proposed in the staff report. And I appreciate your time, and we just respectfully request an approval. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Jim. And before we go to questions, there is a public hearing associated with this agenda item. So I'm going to open the public hearing at this time. I do have some blue cards or requests. First is Ann Rogan. Again, if you would state your name and whether or not you're a resident of Oro Valley when you come to the podium.
Hello, my name is Ann Rogan, and I've lived in Oro Valley for almost 10 years. As I understand it, Oro Valley was founded in 1974 to be a separate town from Tucson. This is the town that prevented Target from having red-painted balls out front and In-N-Out Burger from having the cross palms. Why do we now think that it's a good idea to have a drive-through on our main thoroughfare? It's almost like Kenyatta is like a small town road. We have the big road. It's Oracle Road. Many businesses fail. If this business does, now we have a drive-through, and most likely a big chain like McDonald's will come in, set the precedent, and now we have more drive-throughs coming into our town. And as I said, we already have stuff like this on Oracle Road. I know it's a shocker. I'm not a native Arizonan with this accent. But because I'm not a native, I can tell you firsthand about overdevelopment and overcrowding. It seems like the dreaded yellow signs are always about rezoning. Our town is becoming houses that are jammed in next to each other on rezoned plots. Storage facilities, note to self, get rid of your stuff, your kids don't want it. And my personal pet peeve, apartment complexes right next to beautiful neighborhoods. This property definitely has a right to be developed. It's been bought and paid for. But why can't it be a standing restaurant where people use their legs to go in and buy a smoothie? Lastly, I was at the car wash on Oracle Road. I was speaking to a man who was leaving Oro Valley. I asked him why, and he said, overdevelopment. He was headed to Kingman for more space. I told him you only get one big move, and I did that already when I came across the country with my family, and now I'm here. And for those reasons, I'm for preserving this town and not continuing down the path of overdevelopment. Thank you for your time.
Let's see. Edward Yunker.
Well, thanks, guys, for having me. I'm excited to speak to you guys. Newer resident of Oro Valley. Moved here about 3 years ago from Portland, Oregon, right across the street in Copper Creek. I'm speaking in support.
You could state your name.
Oh, Edward Yunker. I'm speaking in support of this CUP request as both a resident of Oro Valley and the owner of a drive-thru restaurant. I own and operate Black Rock Coffee Bar locations in the Tucson area. As a resident of Oro Valley, I want to see the vacant parcels at the Kenyatta Crossroads become something that we can use. I think right now it's just kind of sitting there and it doesn't look too pretty. And I think with what 110 wants to do, I think it looks like a beautiful addition to the center. This area of La Kenyatta is heavily developed with commercial uses, and vacant parcels make this center look just kind of incomplete, especially with how beautiful the rest of that area is. Approving this site will not only help this restaurant, but it will also help all the uses in the center by bringing a new building and new landscaping to its most visible parcel. I also believe that the new customers, the Tropical Smoothie, will result in new or returning customers to the Kenyatta Crossroads other businesses. As the owner of drive-thru restaurants, I believe this is the right use for the property. La Kenyatta is a major street with lots of traffic to support this new restaurant. This area is also surrounded by residential neighborhoods that were vital to keeping the surrounding restaurants in business. This is the perfect location for this type of fast casual restaurant, which will not only generate as many drive-through customers as a coffee shop or an In-N-Out burger. I'm excited about the potential for a tropical smoothie in this location. I know my fiance is extremely excited about it. We're excited to walk there. And I would encourage you guys to approve this CUP. Thanks.
The next speaker is an online speaker, Samip Patel.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Mayor and members of the council. My name is Samit Patel, and I'm located down there in the Rita Ranch community of Tucson. I'm currently the operator of two tropical smoothie cafes here in the Tucson area, and we plan to develop four more locations here in the next year. One of the reasons that we were really excited about this particular plaza in terms of developing there was because, kind of like the gentleman before me said, you know, that it looks as though it's underdeveloped compared to some of the surrounding areas on that same street. But at the same time, it's also got some strong tenants and other businesses that have already proven that that area is an area where people are willing to go and try, new restaurants and have success for a long time. I know one of the concerns that those neighboring restaurants had was that, you know, maybe that this business might hurt their business or maybe hurt the ambiance and that sort of thing. And I'm here to tell you guys that, you know, this is something that I've done before. We did it in the Rita Ranch community, which is also a kind of like a small town feel. You know, it's not super, super developed yet, kind of like the Marana or Cortero area. And so when I brought it there, we saw that it actually brought traffic to the neighboring businesses, because now people that were maybe not as likely to go try out those other restaurants, now we're seeing it. And you know, it was just upbringing their curiosity. And so I do think that that is something that they'll find that is actually going to be beneficial to them. But not only that, but we feel that, you know, it's going to add something to the community that people are actually going to like and enjoy. You know, it's a fairly healthy option compared to maybe some of the other things that are out there. It's not your typical fast food joint like a McDonald's or Burger King, where you're going to have lines, you know, down the street. You're going to have, you know, a few cars stacked in there every now and then. But if I'm being completely honest, it's going to be pretty rare to have a, you know, car stacked all the way out into the parking lot. That's not something we see very regularly, but we're still busy enough where, you know, we're able to stay afloat and we're not going to have to worry about going out of business. I don't think that that will be a concern. So I just urge you guys to approve this request because, you know, what we're trying to do is add to the area. We certainly wouldn't want to take away from it. You know, we made some changes to make it look nicer and kind of fit that vibe that you guys have there in Oro Valley. And, you know, we're excited at the ability to potentially go out there and add to the community you guys already have. And so, you know, I thank you for your time. And, you know, certainly if you guys do approve this request, I'll be happy to make sure that we go out of our way to be good neighbors to all the existing tenants and the residents in that area.
Okay, thank you. I have no other blue cards or online request, so I'm going to close the public hearing at this time. As a reminder, we have Mr. Packer with the town, Mr. Juneman, who's representing the applicant, and then also online is Mr. McMurtry, who is the civil engineer, who's available for questions, and then Mr. Kelly, who is with the traffic engineering firm Greenlight. At this time, I'll entertain a motion from council, if there is a motion.
Mr. Mayor?
Councilmember Solomon.
Okay, thank you. I move to approve the conditional use permit for the proposed drive-through restaurant located in the Kenyatta Crossroads Shopping Center, subject to the conditions in Attachment 1, based on the finding that the request complies with all applicable zoning code review criteria.
I second.
Okay. Second by Councilmember Green. So we'll open it for discussion. Council?
Mr. Mayor.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
After reviewing the site plan and going on a tour, I have some conditions I'd like to add to the motion. And so, if I may, I'd like to move to add the following conditions. There will be no pedestrian or employee walking routes or crosswalks within the drive-through lane except at the vehicle entry and exit points. The southern and western areas in between the parking curb and the screen wall top will be vegetated at maximum capacity as determined by the planning and zoning administrator in order to create a colorful garden presence as viewed from the adjacent restaurant outdoor dining areas. And while preserving functionality as determined by the planning and zoning administrator and town engineer, the order kiosk must be moved closer to the pickup window to enlarge order kiosk approach queuing capacity.
Councilmember Solomon?
What I'd like to do, Vice Mayor, is run those by the applicant to see if there's any specific reasons why those items are where they are and if there's any impact on those changes, potential changes.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'm fine with that, but I would like to make my motion as a amended motion. So I'm wondering if there could maybe be a second on my motion. No? All right. Maybe second.
We have a second by Councilmember Bowen.
Okay. Thank you.
So we'll open it for discussion. Mr. Jimin, can you respond to the...
Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett. So for the first two, and Councilman Solomon, for the first two proposed conditions, we have no issue. We're agreeable to both of those.
And Mr. Jimin, just so we're all on the same page, what do you understand those first two to be?
Yeah, so the first condition is regarding the pedestrian walkways. Essentially, it's probably easier to show visually, to eliminating the pedestrian walkway except for the one on the top of the screen, which is on the north. That one will remain. Essentially, what this is going to do is eliminate the pedestrian walkway that's on the south at the southwest corner of our building.
Basically, at the center of the drive-through.
The center of the drive-through, yes, Mr. Mayor. So we're agreeable to that. I think that's actually a positive design element, probably safer. We put it there for convenience for loading, but really after... I think internally we've talked that may not be the best thing from a liability standpoint. And so we're agreeable to that. The second condition regarding, kind of maximizing the vegetation. I believe this is, really intended for those two, trellis areas that are at our, that really face the harvest, patio and the Cafe Torino patio. Our intention is to make those to have vines there that really serve as to look nice and to serve as a barrier to those patio areas. So I think maximizing that vegetation is something that we would want to do anyway. So we're agreeable to that condition. We are concerned about the third condition. We've talked to Sameep, the operator, who he's got two stores that are active. What he's seen is that it takes more time between ordering and picking up than it does to come into the drive-through and order. So I think the delay that could happen between the order kiosk and the window. And so we're a little concerned that that could create sort of the opposite effect. And I understand what the vice mayor, the intention of it is to really make that ordering or make that drive-through lane as efficient as possible. I think what our operator has seen is that where we have it right now, we think that's the most efficient location. There's definitely, we understand the logic about shortening the distance between the kiosk and the window because that gives more space behind the kiosk. But I think we're just a little concerned that this might actually have the opposite effect. And there is the ability, I think, if there's a problem with how the drive-through lane functions, that we could go back and work with town staff. Now that we have it looks like that the walkway is going to be removed. I think we've got some flexibility to move things later, but so that's our concern with that third condition.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Councilmember Solomon.
Oh, okay. You know, in a case like this, I think we should defer to the owner and the designers who have the experience. They're the ones in the best position to choose the location of the kiosk. Council doesn't have that expertise, and this is on them. There's already a condition that says if there is an issue with the stacking, council can revisit to see a conditional use permit. So I would suggest that, or ask the vice mayor would like to consider removing the third condition. They've agreed to the first two, but I don't think it's appropriate for council to micromanage us to the point of telling them where to place the kiosk, one space over or not.
Mr. Mayor.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Thank you. I think the primary concern that I've heard consistently from the neighbors throughout the neighborhood community, the neighborhood meetings, et cetera, and the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, et cetera, is about the impact on the restaurant patios and the rest of the center. And one of the concerns that I consistently hear is about the queuing of vehicles out in front of the restaurant. And it certainly isn't a really enjoyable and lovely lunch if you're sitting next to unscreened queuing and idling vehicles. My experience with drive-throughs is that a lot of times, even though there's stacking in the drive-thru, the line can back up behind the ordering kiosk at peak hours. And so the way we have it currently positioned in this site plan, the ordering kiosk only really allows 2 to 3 cars behind the person who's already ordering before you're out into the Harvest parking lot, essentially idling in front of the Harvest. We talked about the Vail Tropical Smoothie location as a comparison that had 7 cars in the drive-thru at a time. If more of those were waiting to order, then the drive-thru queuing line wouldn't be used very efficiently. Also, Vail has a population that's a fraction the size of Oro Valley's population. So it's possible that this location and this level of vehicles will have an increased amount of stacking. So my goal in this is to make sure that all the stacking gets used inside the lane and not that any of it is falling out. And I'm wondering if maybe staff would mind pulling up the Google Earth image that I had looked at with them of the other Vail Tropical Smoothie, because this isn't the tropical smoothie, but it had demonstrated a similar thing as what I'm describing happening at the neighboring Dunkin' Donuts. And that was shaped similarly to this. Is that possible?
Have that. Sorry, we don't have that graphic. If someone could provide that to me, I can display it.
Okay.
Mr. Packer is.
It's okay. If they don't have it.
Just a moment, Vice Mayor. I'm not clear. It looks like staff can provide it.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
Well, in the meantime, I'm wanted to ask the applicant to respond, but a few corrections. There is a screen wall. At the current location of the kiosk, there is room for 4 cars stacking behind prior to those cars really being visible. Keep in mind, this is not a pristine, beautiful desert oasis we're talking about. All of us who have gone to harvest know this is a barren, somewhat unattractive, vacant slab. This is a vast improvement over that. If anything, I think it would improve the aesthetics and environment and experience to people dining at the patio harvest. Also, I get a little concerned. We seem to be placing an extremely high priority on harvest. I don't believe harvest has any more rights on this property than this does, other than it came first. And I recall when this whole development was being proposed, there was a heck of a lot of opposition to it, and harvest wouldn't have been there. So I think we have to be careful in order of places occurring. I think they've shown that they satisfy all the conditions of the conditional use permit. And once again, the owners are the ones investing in this. They have these properties. They know how they operate. And they are saying it would be detrimental to make this change. Yet council is arguing that council knows better, has more experience in this on stacking traffic engineering and its operation. So that's where I see a disconnect. And those are my comments regarding this once more. And I think, you know, maybe we want the applicant to provide more input on it.
Yeah, thank you, Councilmember Solomon. Actually, Councilmember Vice Mayor Barrett. So I believe staff now has, Nick, are we ready to?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I need just a few more seconds to pull it up.
Okay, so Mr. Juman, if you
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, thank you. Councilmember Solomon, I think we and the Vice Mayor have the same objective, right? And we're working off experience on the other projects that we think that this this location works. Not to say that the Vice Mayor's suggestion wouldn't work as well. I just think based on our experience and our operator's experience, we think this likely will work a little bit better. So, but I do appreciate the suggestion. And I think, like I said, we're both kind of looking for the same thing. None of us want the backup that will occur. I will say this, that is actually, this is off of Google. That's not the tropical smoothie. That's a Dunkin' Donuts. The tropical smoothie is the one just to the left that has the U-shaped drive-through. So it's got, it's not as good a, it's not a good example of the tropical smoothie drive-through because that's got quite a bit of stacking because of the U-shape. But what I think what the Vice Mayor is alluding to is at this Dunkin' Donuts, this picture was taken kind of right at the moment where you've got one car that's moving on to the window, has just ordered, and you've got some backup there. I will say Dunkin' Donuts, coffee shops, they have a lot more drive-through traffic. They just have a higher traffic count. So just kind of keep that in mind. But her example with this example is exactly what we are trying to avoid. I think we just think that where the current location is, we'll do that. And keep in mind, we also put that location, we put that kiosk there so it's not facing Cafe Torino. What I'm afraid of is if we move that that kiosk more to the kind of sliding to the south, that may have a little bit more of an impact on Cafe Torino's patio, and their, you know, they have patio dining as well as harvest. So we're trying to balance this all out, and that's why we chose the location that we did.
Okay,
Mr. Mayor.
Well, Vice Mayor has the.
Thank you. If I could, I was never sorry. I know it's awkward because I'm not there in person. I'm sick. Sorry about that.
I wasn't intending to yield the floor, but if I could just, so on that image, what you see is the tropical smoothie has a U-shaped drive-through, and that's not really what's being proposed exactly here, because we're having proposed more of this L-shaped drive-through. And so if you look at this L-shaped drive-through, you can see what I'm concerned about is that the cars, there's the drive-through where you can order, and then the cars end up stacking up outside of it and spilling out onto the other area. So if Vail, which has a population of, what, 15,000-ish, I don't know how many people are in Vail, but Google says 14,000 people. I don't know if that's up to date. But Oro Valley has a larger population, et cetera. I'm afraid that these idling cars that could come out will end up in front of the Harvest. And I understand Council Member Solomon's point about, you know, the Harvest patio is one tenant here. But one of the conditions, one of the reasons that we can grant or not grant a conditional use permit for a drive-through is its compatibility with existing surrounding uses. So it is important to pay attention to how it fits into the center as a whole. And so that's why I just think that if this were moved forward, that that would be best. And I want to point out that the condition that I presented said, you know, while preserving functionality as determined by the planning and zoning administrator and the town engineer. So I think there's some flexibility there for the town engineer and the planning and zoning administrator to try and work with the applicant to figure out how far forward they can put that. While preserving functionality, but I'd like to see it as far forward as possible, and I'm very concerned about that stacking outside of the tropical smoothie location drive-through.
Councilmember Jones Ivy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Point of clarification, please. You're saying that what we're looking at, the building that's marked tropical smoothie, is not tropical smoothie? The one next door.
It's a Dunkin'
Vice
Donuts.
Vice Mayor, I have
it's
the
Dunkin'
floor,
Donuts.
Please.
What's labeled tropical smoothie?
It's
on this?
Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, tropical smoothie is the building to the left.
Okay.
Councilmember Jones
Thank
Ivy.
You.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, Councilman Jones Ivy. I was just trying to answer your question. This is actually a Dunkin' Donuts, but it just is the same shape of drive-through as what is being proposed here.
So, Mr. Juneman, you mentioned that. You and Vice Mayor Barrett, and I think we all share the same goal, mm-hmm. right? We're not wanting to have a negative impact. We want to avoid that. You mentioned about, you know, that if you find that, in fact, their stack-up is an issue, that then there would be some reconsideration about moving. I have to ask myself, how realistic is that? I mean, you've got – it's. I don't know that I've – okay. Yeah. So if you could respond to that,
yeah.
Because you offered that.
Mr. Mayor, that's exactly right. That's not a – it's an expense that's pretty significant. Maybe not if you're moving it just a few feet. It's not probably cost prohibitive, but – it would definitely be an expense that we would want to avoid and only address if it were a significant problem. And my gut feeling is it probably could work either place. And I don't think there'll be a significant either location. I do want to bring up the condition number 5 states that no drive-through signage copy may be visible on site. To on-site properties to the south, and I am a little concerned if we move that kiosk kind of to the south, then we're moving into a violation of that condition. So I'd like to, we want this approved. We're not going to die on this hill for this location. But if it does get approved as the vice mayor is suggesting, then we just want to make sure that condition number 5 is not a problem.
Okay. Right. Councilmember Bowen.
You know, I'd like to explain to the public, while I'm generally in favor of this, why I seconded that motion, because I think the photo here, while it's not a tropical smoothie, it's a driving. This is how, in my life experience, and you see all the gray hair, this is how queues actually work. Mm-hmm. Cars stack up behind the order window, and cars move forward in appreciable. You can shake your head all you want. I've been to McDonald's a million times. And I'll tell you, that's what happens. This is what happens. So when an applicant shows us boom, 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 like little matchbox cars, that doesn't necessarily happen in the real world. So you say you have a 10-car capacity. I think this shows you how very easily in a very normal situation, how a 10-car capacity on the drawing board turns into 5 cars in real life. And the vice mayor's motion, if the applicant's willing to move the board after the fact in violation, if the CUP is not working out, why aren't we willing to move the board before the fact? Mm-hmm. I live in a town full of shopping centers that have empty stores in them, excess capacity everywhere. If every applicant is right the first time they come in with a plan, then I don't understand the town I live in. Mm-hmm. Because you miss a lot, and this isn't like selling a stock. When you get a building wrong, it's really difficult to fix it. It's not as pliable as a financial investment. So that's why I think that this is not necessarily a bad suggestion. To move the order board as far as possible forward and maximize the queuing space, make it as close to 8 to 10 cars as we promised. Thank you.
Mr. Juman, just as a reminder, I think it was in your presentation that the code allows, it doesn't prescribe, mm-hmm. right? So you have some other tropical smoothies. Those were your comparisons. So you have some of that to compare with. Admittedly, it's not apples to apples. As Vice Mayor said, Vail's a smaller, has a smaller population than Oro Valley. So we're all, it's a bit of an art here and some science. Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing, though, is a willingness to work with our planning department, the planning administrator, the town engineer, and the vice mayor is not prescribing that it go in any, we're just trying to make as much room as possible. So I think we're all on the same page
there. Mr. Mayor, we're agreeable to it. Again, my only concern is that condition number 5.
So that would also be with the administrator and the town engineer. Perfect. Obviously, we need to honor that particular condition as well. I have a different question. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with the patio area. It's shown as enclosed, and I understand. Can we bring up, Nick, can we bring up, you have some wonderful graphics, so I compliment you and the applicant for the graphics that you have provided. It helps us to really see, visualize. Yeah, so maybe that's a good one.
Okay.
So... the intent of, I think, the enclosure is to, of course, delineate that this is a seating area. It's not necessarily to prevent people, obviously, from being in there. I'm just curious about the fencing to the south. That is there a need for that particular section of fencing? So because there's landscaping on the other side of that, if that fencing was not there, first of all, it'd feel a little bit less like a corral, mm-hmm. and then it would be open to the landscape versus, I don't see a real reason for that fencing to be there. You may have a good reason.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually don't. I may ask if is there any...
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Mr. McMurtry, are you aware of any reason why we would need that fencing there, or is that more of just a design?
James McMurtry at Dynamic Civil. Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor, council members, the fencing is really just to satisfy town rules for outdoor seating areas to be enclosed by a fence to collect any trash that might start blowing around.
Okay, Mr. Parker, is that it? We require?
That is correct. It is a town code requirement.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. We're all trying to do our best.
We are.
Other questions from council? Councilmember Nicholson.
Just trying to solve a problem for both sides, but looking at the architecture of just the landscaping, I'm looking at the top view. There's more of a larger diameter curve on the west side or northwest corner of it versus the northeast corner of where you enter the drive-through. That's not probably the right view. I'm not looking at the page here.
Would you like me to go to like maybe the site plan?
Yeah, the site plan. Yeah,
sure. The renderings are not always.
The one back.
Okay.
So the top left corner, northwest corner. I think Melanie's worried about people pulling out and stopping in front of Harvest. And it looks like from a normal driving standpoint, you'd probably start curving around that direction because it's a softer curve where the other side is more of a 90-degree angle. Is there a reason that you put it that way so they start parking that way so they're not behind the parked cars to the east? Like curving to the east versus curving to the west or northwest towards Harvest?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nicholson, so I think what you're asking, I'm going to try this, is in this area you've got kind of a rounder edge, I think, and Mr. McMurtry can chime in. Yeah. I think that's sort of an engineering code requirement because it looks like it's the same sort of curve radius around all four sides. I think just from, I think, well, James, do you want to answer that or confirm that?
I do. So James McMurtry of Dynamic Civil. I believe the question is about the radius to the left or to the right of the entryway to the drive-through.
Yeah.
The reason we have the bigger radius on the left side, the west side, is for any cars that might try to come northbound between Bread Smith and the development and try to turn right into the drive-through. We want to give them a nice broad radius so that they don't, so they have a nice smooth transition into that turn and they don't have to back up or adjust to get into that drive-through lane. Versus whereas on the right side, east side of the drive-through entry, any cars entering from there would either be westbound facing, which would mean they'd be north of the property line turning in and they wouldn't need that broad radius, mm-hmm. or they would be turning from the west southbound, in which case that smaller radius wouldn't be any sort of obstruction. Looking at the outer perimeter of the entire curved area of the entire site, you see those larger, broader radii, which are typical of intersections where you would have any sort of potential for service vehicles, like a trash collection vehicle, a loading vehicle. We always put those broader radiuses in those locations. Anywhere else where you have an intersecting PAL that's pretty much dedicated to a passenger-sized vehicle, we typically do like a 5-foot radius on those intersections. And so that's why there's the difference there.
Yeah, so my thought was, obviously it'd be better for you guys not to move the kiosk, so you can have four cars there and four cars on the other side. But I thought maybe one solution would be to, you know, sometimes they, like Kiesler would say, you can blunt off the one quarter and then round off the other one and kind of encourage people instead of mm-hmm. doing the line that way. Because me is just a normal driver. There's no traffic engineering. I'm like, I'm going to drive in there. You're going to see other people pull in. They think that that's the way they want to line up. But if it was more curved on the other side, maybe people would standard way to get into the kiosk. If there's 10 cars, let's say there's busy one day, there's 10, 12 cars, like Melanie and Bowen have mentioned that they worry about that. Maybe people would be encouraged that way so the cars aren't sitting out in front of Harvest, but maybe that's not a good solution. I don't know. It's just a thought.
I think one, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nixon, sorry. I think one thing that may sort of address this is we think that most of the traffic is going to come from that southern entrance. So a lot of the folks that are going to be going to that driveway are going to be coming from the east. And there's also another entrance on La Cañada. If you enter from Lambert, you could go to the west and then enter in that way, but you could also just as easily go to the east. So it may be just naturally most of the traffic is going to kind of come from the east. I think that's probably the estimate at this point.
Mm-hmm. Can I chime in again? I'm sorry, I'm online. I can't really raise my hand, but James McMurtry again. So to address that last statement, what we would really want to avoid is putting a sharper radius in a location that might make it unattractive to enter the drive-through. Because say if you have a northbound vehicle between Breadsmith and the development, northbound, and they want to take a right-hand turn into that drive-through lane, and they look at that radius and say, I don't know if I can make it. Well, now you've got that driver circulating through the development trying to find a better way to get in. And it creates circulation issues.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Okay. So, Mr. Jinman, just to, Councilmember Solomon asked you about these conditions that the Vice Mayor in her amended motion, and you were agreeable to the two. What I'm hearing from this discussion, again, it's not dictating in that motion. It's working with the planning administrator, town engineer, to see if that kiosk, and then to also honor the number four. Am I hearing that you are agreeable?
Mr. Mayor, yes, we're agreeable. It's condition number five is the one on the signage to the south. But
right, okay, condition
yes,
five.
Yeah.
My mistake, but
we're agreeable to that, yes.
Okay. And so, Mr. Rothschild, we have the Vice Mayor's amended motion. We're going to vote on that, then we vote on Councilmember Solomon's motion. Is that the correct Robert's rules of
that's the correct procedure.
Okay. Any more questions, discussion about the amended motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. So on the motion from Councilmember Solomon, seconded by Councilmember Green, all in favor, or first, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it, 6-2-1. Thank you, Mr. Jinman, and I appreciate all the work and staff as well. So thank you very much. We're going to take a 10-minute break before going. Oh, no, excuse me. I'm sorry. We're not done.
We have two more.
Yep. Got ahead of myself. Okay, Councilmember Solomon, keep me honest.
No. Item B. I move to approve conceptual site and landscape plan and revised master development plan for the proposed drive-through restaurant located in the Cañada Crossroads Shopping Center based on the finding that the proposal complies with all zoning code criteria.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Nicholson. Discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Staff has suggested before the meeting that this could add all plans must now be updated to reflect new item A conditions. Is it possible to amend the motion to add that, Councilmember Solomon?
Well, first, if I can check with the our attorney, because the original motion approved had those lists in attachment one. So wouldn't that by default carry over to item B?
I don't think it carries over by default, and I think the clarification on item B is useful.
Okay, can you repeat the clarification, Vice Mayor Barrett?
Yes. All plans must be updated to reflect new item A conditions.
I'll accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay, it's been accepted, seconded by Councilmember Nicholson. Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. Councilmember Solomon.
Hi. Item C. I move to approve the conceptual architecture for the proposed drive-through restaurant located in the Cañada Crossroads Shopping Center based on the finding that the request complies with all applicable zoning code criteria.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Green. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. Okay, now we can take a break. 10 minutes. Mr. Standish, item 4 of the regular session.
Public hearing, discussion of possible action regarding two items related to the proposed annexation of approximately 36 acres at the southwest corner of La Cañada Drive and Westmore Road. Item A, ordinance number O23-02, extending and increasing the corporate limits of the town of Oro Valley, Arizona, pursuant to the provisions of Arizona Revised Statutes, Title 9, Chapter 4, Article 7, and amendments thereto by annexing a certain territory contiguous to the existing limits of the town of Oro Valley, and item 4B, ordinance number O23-03, approving a translational rezoning from Pima County Suburban Ranch to town of Oro Valley R1-144.
Thank you, Mr. Standish. Management analyst Mr. Shattuck will present this item. Mr. Shattuck will be followed by Mr. Olin with Paradigm Land Design LLC, who will present on behalf of the applicant. Mr. Shattuck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Town Council. My name is Carl Shattuck. I'm a management analyst with the Town Manager's Office. I also serve as the town's annexation coordinator. I have a brief presentation for you this evening, and then I'll hand it over to Paul Olin of Paradigm Land, who will do a presentation on behalf of the property owner. As already stated, we have two items in front of us tonight. This is a public hearing to consider the request for an annexation of approximately 36 acres at the southwest corner of La Cañada Drive and Moore Road. Annexation is a process by which a local government adds to its jurisdictional boundary by incorporating neighboring areas. It's a process that's governed by state statute, and here in Oro Valley, we're also guided by the council's annexation strategy, our general plan, and town code. If the annexation is approved, we'll consider item B, which is the implementation of translational rezoning, essentially taking the current Pima County zoning standard and applying the nearest town zoning code standard to that property. Staff recommends approval of item A, the annexation. The Planning and Zoning Commission considered item B during a public hearing last night. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of item B. Item A must be approved before item B can be considered. And I'd just like to note that no new development is proposed as part of this application or translational rezoning. The property under consideration meets all key criteria for annexation under state law and town statutes. Under state law, it meets the contiguity, size and shape, and unincorporated area requirements. The property is within the town's general plan planning area boundary, and it's included within the town's annexation strategy. In addition to meeting all key criteria, the property would directly benefit key elements of the Your Voice, Our Future general plan. Of those two are noted, first is providing an opportunity to control urban growth using the town development standards in areas where future development is likely. This vacant parcel is bordered by three Town of Oro Valley subdivisions on the north, east, and south sides. Annexing the property would allow us to apply the town's unique development code for the development of this property, ensuring that it does integrate with its neighbors, its Oro Valley neighbors around it. Additionally, it would allow us to apply the town's natural resource considerations in the development of the property, which would mean the preservation of the wash running through the middle, and allow for trail easements connecting to trails on the north and south side of existing trails on the north and south side of the property. Another key element of the Your Voice, Our Future general plan is ensuring the long-term water resource supply through utilization of alternative water resources. This property is well situated to benefit from investments the town has made in the Independent Northwest Recovery and Recharge Delivery System infrastructure, affectionately known as NERDS, that uses Central Arizona Project water. Annexation of this property is estimated to have a marginal fiscal impact benefit for the town. An independent consultant hired by the town to assess the annexation found a marginal annual ongoing benefit of annexation of the property of about six revenues exceeding expenditures by about 6% annually. In addition, the consultant estimated around $245,000, $246,000 of one-time fees of development of this property captured by the town. On June 28th of this year, town staff filed the necessary annexation documents with the Pima County Recorder. Two public hearings are required by state statute. The first public hearing occurred on July 19th, in which town council had the opportunity to review, discuss, and hear public comments on the annexation and translational rezoning. We're at the second public hearing this evening, where town council will make a decision on annexation of the property. If town council does approve the annexation, the next item is to move on to item B, the translational rezoning. Again, the Planning and Zoning Commission heard item B last night during a public hearing and recommends approval. State law and town code require the town to translate the existing county zoning to the most similar town zoning district. Then if the owner wishes to change the general zoning, they can go through the regular established rezoning procedures that includes our robust public input procedures. Additionally, no new development is proposed as part of this application. If the owner wishes to develop the property, they will need to follow the town's regular development process. The uses and standards of R1-144 zoning district is the closest comparable zoning district to the existing Pima County Suburban Ranch district. Of note, while the standards are very similar, you will see that the R1-144 zoning standard is more restrictive when it comes to maximum building height and for the side setbacks. And with that, I'll hand it over to Paul Oland of Paradigm Land. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shattuck.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of Town Council, Paul Oland, representing the property owner. I don't have much to add in terms of technical detail. Mr. Shattuck has been a real pleasure to work with throughout this process. So I will just tell you that the vision that we're casting here with Insight Homes is to build a low-density custom home subdivision, very much like La Cañada Ridge, which exists just to the south, which is another Insight Homes project. So that's the general vision. We're looking forward to making a little more progress on the site planning end of things as we dive into the rezoning, should this be approved tonight, and looking forward to presenting what we come up with to you all. Mike Jones, president of Insight Homes, is here. He just wants to say a couple of words.
Really, I don't have anything to add. My name's Mike Jones. I'm a resident of Oral Valley since 1989. My wife, Ann, is here with me, and I'm here to answer any questions if you do have some.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
And there you have it. It's that quick. Appreciate your support of this. And again, looking forward to getting to the next step here with another nice design.
Thank you, Mr. Oland. There is a public hearing associated with this agenda item. I'm going to open the public hearing at this time. Sherry Butman, if you would come forward, if you're still with us. And
yes, I am.
If you could state your name and whether you're a resident of Oral Valley.
Thank you very much, Mayor. My name is Sherry Butman, and I am a resident of Oral Valley. I actually live at the La Cholla Air Park. Last night, I was also here, and Town Council voted for Oral Valley to annex the 36 acres that is under consideration here. It's located at the corner of Moore Road and La Cañada. And with the Council's decision and discussions, it seemed to be surrounding this, not only the sale of the property, but also a developer with possible future plans to create a residential space that might include 34 homes on 36 acres of land. As a resident of the Air Park, La Cholla Air Park, I have a few concerns. First, La Cholla Air Park is an active airport. Over the years, I've seen multiple new homes and subdivisions being built directly across and around the air park. And while I'm not opposed to new development, I want to make sure that there's proper planning for the area, along with appropriate disclosure that an active airport with private roads and operating aircraft is in the vicinity of these 36 acres. Our airport has a 4,500-foot runway situated at a magnetic compass of 01 and 19. The preferred runway is 19, which means we depart to the south, and the runway is lit and open for use 24 hours a day. As pilots operating out of La Jolla Air Park, we're extremely sensitive to our neighbors, and we use noise abatement techniques to minimize impact. The La Jolla Air Park publishes a pilot's operating manual, and all operators, as in pilots operating out of the air park, are required to follow specific procedures. La Jolla Air Park, again, is an active, functioning airport. We're located within the town of Oral Valley, and we're permanently situated near the newly annexed 36 acres of land. We are your neighbors, and I hope there are provisions within the Oral Valley community to and code to ensure that all developers disclose these airport facts, and we welcome new neighbors and new homeowners. The second concern is lot size in this 36 acres. The La Jolla Air Park community enjoys large rural lots. Our CC&Rs require a minimum of 7 acres undivided per lot. The proposed lot size of maybe 1 acre feels like high-density homes, which seems inappropriate for the area. During the meeting last night, there was an extended discussion concerning zero lot lines, as well as a vote by council to increase public recreational space in all future developments. So if there is going to be a new housing development, possibly in this area with public recreational space, roads have to be paved, which will bring more cars and more people to the area. How much traffic is expected on Moore Road? Should we assume a couple of cars? And how about that additional recreational use? My third concern, if you don't mind me going on, is egress and ingress. The La Jolla Air Park is actually bordered by King Air on the east and Lindbergh on the west. And as the picture described or presented just previously, both at council last night and again this evening, there's a private air park road, which is called King Air, which is appears to be slightly aligned with the northwest border of the proposed annexation across Moore. So I think it might be a previous slide. But not to be overlooked at this intersection, there we go. So King Air is kind of in the northwest corner on the other side of Moore. But not to be overlooked is also intersection alignment. When streets don't align at intersection, it creates unsafe conditions. And unfortunately, there's currently a safety hazard on the west side, so the Lindbergh side of the airport, where the private road Lindbergh actually meets the public road La Jolla, and they don't line up at Moore. Unfortunately, this is a safety hazard that exists today, and while the developer might propose traffic, my concern is ingress and egress from this 36 acres. Will it actually be aligned with King Air, and will it put more traffic out on the on Moore Road? So needless to say, the Oral Valley Traffic Planning Commission needs to consider and require appropriate safety measures. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have no other blue cards. I'm going to close the public hearing, and we'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion. Before that, what I'd like to just remind people is this is not a rezoning. This is not a site development plan review. We are doing one thing and one thing simply, deciding whether this property may be annexed into the town of Oral Valley at its current equivalent zoning, which is one house per 144,000 square feet. Once that's accomplished, if the property owner or anyone else wishes to come back to the town and ask for a rezoning to a different density, they will be required to go through the entire excruciating, long, involved process through many different meetings with staff, presentations, meeting all code requirements, planning and zoning, and finally the town council. So this is not a consideration of any proposed subdivision at this time, and any of the traffic considerations or road alignments. So to that end, I move to approve ordinance number 023-02, extending and increasing the corporate limits of the town of Oro Valley, Arizona, pursuant to the provisions of Arizona Revised Statutes, Title 9, Chapter 4, Article 7, and amendments thereto, by annexing certain territory contiguous to the existing limits of the town of Oro Valley, known as the 36 acres at the southwest corner of La Cunada Drive and Westmore Road annexation area.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Green. It's open for discussion. Seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. Councilmember Solomon.
Item B, transitional rezoning. I move to approve ordinance number 023-03, transitional rezoning of the entire property from Pima County SR to Town of Oro Valley R-144.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Green. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. Future agenda items? Hearing none, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Nicholson. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. Nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. Thank you. Good night, everyone. We appreciate you joining us.